You are listening the most controversial story by American standards of the 1890s. Kate Chopin's The Story of an Owl. Set in 1890s, as the 1800s were coming to a close, the world moved into a new century. American life was changing rapidly. American women who worked while they were married were judged even more harshly. Women were expected not to work at all, sometimes even delegating the responsibility of managing the house or child rearing to maids or nannies. In the 1890s, working was only for lower class women who could not afford a life of leisure. Streaming Now is a short exploration of marriage and reparation in America. The Story of an Owl. Featuring actor Willie D. Davis as our guest storyteller. Let's roll it now. This episode is brought to you by Anna's House Shelter, an organization who fights against domestic violence.
Knowing that Mrs. Mallard was afflicted with a heart trouble, great care was taken to break to her as gently as possible the news of her husband's death. It was her sister Josephine who told her in broken sentences, veiled hints that revealed in half concealing. Her husband's friend Richards was there too, near her. It was he who had been in the newspaper office when intelligence of the railroad disaster was received, with Brentley Mallard's name leading the list of killed. He had only taken the time to assure himself of his truth by a second telegram that hastened to forestall any less careful, less tender friend in bearing the sad message. She did not hear the story as many women have heard the same, with the paralyzed inability to accept its significance. She wept at once with sudden, wild abandonment in her sister's arms. When the storm of grief had spent itself, she went away to her room alone. She would have no one follow her. There stood, facing the open window, a comfortable, roomy armchair. Into this she sank, pressed down by a physical exhaustion that haunted her body and seemed to reach into her soul. She was seeing the open square before her house, the tops of trees that were all a-quiver with the new spring life. The delicious breath of rain was in the air. In the street below, a peddler was crying his wares. She sat with her head thrown back upon the cushion of the chair, quite motionless. Except when a sob came up into her throat and shook her as a child who has cried itself to sleep continues to sob in his dreams. She was young, with a fair, calm face whose lines bespoke repression and even a certain strength. But now, there was a dull stare in her eyes, whose gaze was fixed away off yonder on one of those patches of blue sky. It was not a glance of reflection, but rather indicated a suspension of intelligent thought. There was something coming to her, and she was waiting for it fearfully. What was it? She did not know. It was too subtle and elusive to name, but she felt it, creeping out of the sky, reaching toward her through the sounds, the scents, the color that filled the air. Now her bosom rose and fell tumultuously. She was beginning to recognize this thing that was approaching to possess her, and she was striving to beat it back with her will, as powerless as her two white, slender hands would have been. When she abandoned herself a little, a whispered word escaped her slightly parted lips. She said it over and over under the breath.
Free, free, free. Free, body and soul, free.
The vacant stare and the look of terror that had followed it went from her eyes. They stayed keen and bright, Her pulses beat fast, and the coursing blood warmed and relaxed every inch of her body. She did not stop to ask if it were or were not a monstrous joy that held her. A clear and exalted perception enabled her to dismiss the suggestion as trivial. She knew that she would weep again when she saw the kind, tender, folded hands in death. The face that had never looked save with love upon her, fixed and gray and dead. But she saw beyond that bitter moment a long procession of years to come that would belong to her absolutely. And she opened and spread her arms out to them in welcome. There would be no one to live for during those coming years. She would live for herself. There would be no powerful will bending hers in that blind persistence with which men and women believe they have a right to impose a private will upon a fellow creature. A kind intention or a cruel intention made that act seem no less a crime as she looked upon it in that brief moment of illumination. And yet, she had loved him. Sometimes. Often she had not. What did it matter? What could love, the unsolved mystery, count for in the face of this possession of self-assertion which she suddenly recognized as the strongest impulse of her being?
Free body and soul, free.
Free body and soul, free.
She kept whispering. Josephine was kneeling before the closed door with her lips to the keyhole, imploring for admission.
Louise, open the door, I beg. Open the door. You will make yourself ill. What are you doing, Louise? For heaven's sake, open the door.
Go away. I'm not making myself ill.
She was drinking in a very elixir of life through that open window. Her fancy was running wild along those days ahead of her. Spring days and summer days and all sorts of days that would be her own. She breathed a quick prayer that life might be long. It was only yesterday she had thought with a shudder that life might be long. She arose at length and opened the door to her sister's importunities. There was a feverish triumph in her eyes, and she carried herself unwittingly like a goddess of victory. She clasped her sister's waist, and together they descended the stairs. Richards stood waiting for them at the bottom. Someone was opening the door with a latch key. It was Brantley Mallard who entered. It was Brantley Mallard who entered. A little travel stained, composedly carrying his grip sack and umbrella. He had been far from the scene of the accident and did not even know there had been one. He stood amazed at Josephine's piercing cry, at Richard's quick motion to screen him from the view of his wife. When the doctors came, they said she had died of heart disease. Of the joy that kills.
After 1 hour, the telephone rings.
Hello, this is Jonathan from Times newspaper. How may I help?
Good job, Jonathan. It worked. Our plan worked.
Happy to hear that, Mr. Mallard. Happy to hear that. Now get my money ready. I'll see you on 45th Street.
This was The Story of an Owl, featuring actor-recording artist Willie D. Davis IV as our guest storyteller. With him was actor and musical theater artist Jessica Winberg as Josephine and Louise Mallard. Hope you liked the story. If you liked it, don't forget to rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Your reviews and ratings are really valuable. Do join us on Instagram and Twitter. We are by the name @podcastaudios. Waiting for you. By the way, connect with our storytellers on Instagram. Willie D. Davis IV on Instagram @TheActorWillieD and Jessica Winberg on Instagram as @JazzyJess. JazzyJess. Show some love on their profile. Links are in description as well. This episode was brought to you by Anna's House Shelter, a program providing women facing hardships with a safe and productive environment to get back on track to financial, mental, and physical wellness. An organization who fights against domestic violence. Visit www.awayoutproject.org for more.